Well, a year ago, we were all out here, and there was a whole lot of sand going on. And does it even amaze you how much progress and how much has been done in just 1 year here at Cabot Citrus Farms?
It is amazing. I mean, I think from when we bought the property 2 years ago to the formative, you know, sort of steps we took in that first year to really getting it to completion and watching people play golf today, it's a bit mind-boggling, but it's, you know, we've had an amazing team of folks that have been leading the way here, and the progress has just been absolutely amazing.
Well, I saw online that you've also launched your property in the Caribbean, St. Lucia. So two places in less than a year, it's got to be
two places
exciting.
In the last month. St. Lucia was last month. It's yeah. just, yeah, it's been busy. There's been lots of travel, but listen, it's a dream come true to get one of these things to fruition. So to have a couple in a couple of months is pretty darn special.
What's it like for you to work with Kyle Franz and Mike Nuzzo? Because, I mean, some of your other properties, we see Ben Crenshaw and Bill Coors' name a lot.
Well, and it's amazing. You know, Mike's an old friend, and Mike and I went to Teeth of the Dog together on a golf trip almost 20 years ago. And Kyle, of course, worked on Rod Whitman's Cabot Links course, our first course, and was shaping bunkers. So I've been so lucky to know those folks for a long time. And I think, you know, just waiting really for the opportunity to get to work with them. And I think as we, you know, we've worked with Rod Whitman, we've obviously worked with Tom Doak in Scotland right now, and with Bill and Ben, you know, getting to work with these guys at the height of their creative abilities is great. Great joy.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you have to notice that there is a buzz starting to be created around this property, and you haven't even opened yet, really.
Well, and I think, you know, obviously we love that idea of as there's golf to be played, getting people out and spreading the word, and we always need help in finding us, at least at first. And there's been so much excitement about this one because I think there were so many people who knew it in its previous iteration, and I think we're just so, you know, so sort of excited to see what is coming, and so I think the chance to reveal that's pretty awesome.
Well, of all the places you could have gone in America for your first property, how did it end up being here?
Well, I think, you know, honestly, when COVID hit and we thought of properties around the world that were existing that we really might want to be a part of, you know, Castle Stewart and Worldwoods were at the top of that list. So, you know, it was just really serendipity that we were able to wrap it up. But I'd always loved the property. I'd loved the sand. I loved the proximity to Tampa and Orlando. But, you know, to have the elevation change and the mossy oaks that are 1,000 years old and all of these pines dotting the landscape, I mean, it just was hard to imagine you could have this. And everybody who came here would say, it doesn't feel like Florida. And it really felt like Georgia, the Carolinas. And I just loved that. And yeah, just pleased to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us how you arrived at the names that you now have for these courses.
So, you know, it's a fun process. It's a creative process. And we have lots of creative people. But, you know, Cabot Citrus Farms, obviously, you know, Brooksville, there's a great sign that says the tangerine capital of the world. And citrus was a big part of it. We're literally just on the border of Citrus County here, and so that sort of felt like a great place, and you know, reminded us all of the bucolic setting we are here in Central Florida. I think the names of the courses, I'm really trying to come up with something that resonated. The Karoo was obviously named after the sound of the sandhill crane, and the sandhill crane is our logo for the Karoo and is a bird we see, you know, throughout the site all the time. And then with the roost, you know, on the other site, it's amazing how different the roost and the Karoo are. Although they border at a point, they're very different sort of geologies. And so there we saw a lot of wild turkeys, and you know, we figured we couldn't call it wild turkey, so the roost won the day.
The different courses here, because you've got two 18s, then you have an 11, you have a 10, and it's now my understanding you actually might have room for up to two more 18-hole courses.
Well, I think we've got to open what we have, but I think of it as 45 holes in a par 3. So obviously the Roost and the Karoo are the two 18 holes, and Mike Nuzzo built the Squeeze, which was really intended to be a 9-hole course that along the way we found a really fun buy hole. And so, you know, it's sort of, you know, the idea was, you know, he wanted to squeeze in a little more golf and obviously a play on orange juice too. But I think, you know, we saw that in Cape Breton a lot. We saw people who wanted to play, you know, they didn't want to play 36, but they wanted a little bit more. And so I think Mike came up with a really creative and fun nine-holer. And then similarly, the wedge was meant to be a nine-hole par three. And as we did it, we found two extra really fun holes. You know, we ended up with 11 par threes. And so again, you know, a play on the citrus with the wedge, but really a fun par three, a fun short course. And, you know, those two additions are really what we're about, of creating, you know, a fun atmosphere with sort of a chance to go out with your pals or your family and hit a golf ball around.
How about more on the real estate option here? You've got where people can buy, but I know the question people are saying is, hey, if we don't own one of those, are there going to be rentals available? So we come down or we have a group, are we going to be able to?
Yeah, much like Cape Breton. So, you know, we've sold a fair amount of real estate to date. You know, obviously behind us here, we have the village of the first series of cottages, which are a series of two and four bedrooms. And, you know, we've sold most of those at this point. And, you know, there's some more real estate, but absolutely there's a component of, as there is in Cape Breton, of sort of overnight rental. And you know, and people coming down, and we really, you know, it'll function as a golf resort. I just think, rather than building one monolithic hotel, the idea of having cottages that, you know, you sort of could spill out onto this beautiful landscape, and it feels like we're in this magical part of the country and magical part of the state, and we really wanted to keep people connected to that land.
I was going to say magical part of the state. I mean, some areas of Florida, there's golf resort, and a couple miles later, there's a golf resort, and then 5 miles later, there's a golf resort. But out here, you're not really close to any of the bigger, shall we say, golf properties of Florida.
Well, I mean, you know, it's so funny. Relative to Inverness, Scotland, or Inverness, Nova Scotia, or St. Lucia, or Revelstoke, this is the closest thing we've ever done to any proximate, you know, population base. So it feels awfully close relative to some of our others. But I take your point, and I think, you know, 45 minutes north of Tampa, but what we started hearing is folks from Tampa came or made the trip from Orlando, you know, 75 minutes to the southeast, was it just doesn't feel like Florida. And in that way, it felt like something, you know, that just had its own feel. And that's what really drew me, more than putting a pin in the map and saying we wanted to be somewhere. It was really about, as it has been everywhere else we've been, do we have a, you know, a remarkable site that we think we can do something special with? Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the course that's not open. I know you went through an architectural change. The guys that were here all kind of banded together and pitched in. What's the time scheduling on getting that open and available for golf?
Yeah, I think they'll be finished in April, and really I think hopefully we'll play golf shortly thereafter, certainly by June, and then both courses will be ready for the grand opening in September, which will include all of the accommodation and so on. And yeah, and I mean, I think to see a collaboration of a bunch of great architects all pitching in to do something, we just feel, you know, yeah, I mean, it's a testament to those guys, and really, you know, just how they could all work together. But I think what they're realizing, I was over there this morning, and it is, it's pretty darn special. So,
Ben, thank you very much.
Rory, so good to have you.
Yeah,
thank
great
you.
Great to be here. Bogey golf. A little better than I played on number two the other day in that 42-degree weather, but those things happen. And then the winds got up to about 30 miles an hour on the last five, six holes.
You're kidding me. On that golf course,
no.
That's
and try to hit cradle shots after. Kyle, a year ago we were here. We were riding around in the SUVs when we saw sand, more sand, and a lot of sand. And it's got to be amazing, even to you, being in this business and building these golf courses, to see how much progress has been made here in 1 year.
No, absolutely. I mean, in many ways, like rebuilding a golf course on top of an old site, it's more work. You're taking apart a golf course and you put it all back together. So it's been a really monumental task and a big transformation, obviously. You know, a lot of trees cut down out there to try and promote more wind getting through the site, getting a little more comfortable on those hot Floridian days. And really getting to where, you know, the wind kind of factors in for a lot of the architectures you can see out there. You know, so much of what we're trying to do, we're really trying to get just good, fun ground game architecture out there. You know, we talk so much about, you know, Pinehurst number two and Pine Valley on this project, but really a lot of the influence comes from like St. Andrews and National Golf Links, where it's just fun ways to run it in and bounce it in, fun recovery shots where you can putt, chip, and hit bump and runs greens out there, but especially, you know, it's using a lot of the contours out there to bounce shots around and use the wind or just have some fun shot making. So it's been a big monumental undertaking. Like, everything has been regraded and moved around and moved holes around and greens around, and it's been a big job in many ways. It's a even though it's, you know, we're renovating on a previous site, it feels like a whole new world out there. So it's been a lot of fun.
You know, well, people are asking me, hey, I played Pine Barrens before. How is this course going to be different? And people are wondering, where did you get the name from for your golf course?
In terms of the name, it's actually a pretty cool name that they came up with. So this bird called the Sandhills Crane that's predominant at all in these sandhills all the way up to North Carolina and down to here. But apparently Karoo is a noise, as I understand it, that they make, which is kind of an interesting, pretty unique name. So I think they did a pretty good job with that. You'd ask me about the comparison to the original golf course. You know, I think there'll be areas where people will be like, wait a minute, that feels familiar. I remember that. You know, holes like 4 and 15, you know, those were really good sound holes. So we just changed the things that we felt like we would make it apply a little bit better for modern play or make it a little bit more playable for the average player. You know, instead of having, you know, two distinct routes on 15, you've got more like 4 routes where you can play the right fairway, the left fairway, and then there's ways you can hit a fade down to the approach. But we really made it to where each side of the fairway you'd want to play to depending on the hole location, whereas it was a little more kind of one-dimensional before. But nevertheless, you know, the same structure of that hole is, I think people will be like, I can remember this. And there's other places where we've completely reinvented the wheel, you know, like number 18, which was a dog leg to the left before, is now, you know, like a very robust three fairway sort of arrangement where depending on the pin, you can play to that fairway, you can play to the middle fairway, there's a lot to play to the right fairway, just play to your skill set. So a lot of different ways that you can play the hole. You know, holes like number 3, that was the 16th hole going the opposite direction, but you can play a really fun downhill, swing it off the hillside par 3 and really bounce shots down onto the green. 17 with kind of the more Alpsy sort of ups and up and over par 5 second shot. It's a hole that's been completely rerouted. You know, most of the greens were kind of moved around, or that everything really has been regraded and kind of, you know, up or down by 2 feet, 5 feet, some places 10 feet. A lot of big changes out there. So I think there'll be something for everybody. If you really like the course that was here before, we've really tried to, you know, build off of its strengths and make it more playable and more fun for the average player. But there also is completely reinvented sections out there that is, it's like a totally new golf course for most of the holes out there. So I think hopefully a little bit for everybody. That's what we're really kind of striving for, is a reimagining. That's what I was always kind of tasked with. To come up with something that everybody can enjoy.
Well, you jumped up and you partnered together with Mike Nuzzo now in the other course, mm-hmm. and I know it's a few months behind this part of the property, but where is that at? And what have you and Mike teamed up to form on the other 18-hole golf course here?
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun over there. Number one is Mike is just such an awesome guy. He's been so much fun to work with, such a great talent. And Rand Morris, that I've been friends with for 20 years. You know, I got my first start when I asked for my first internship from Tom Doak at Pacific Dunes. It was through Golf Club Alice. So he's been a great friend and a mentor for years. So very honored and really excited to get to work with those guys. As for the styling and the work that we're trying to achieve over there, it's a very, very different site from Karoo. And from over here on these holes, you know, it's more rolly terrain over there, a lot of live oaks and some really big elevation change, like stuff that you never see in Florida, like on the 13th and 14th holes, really big changes. But heavier soils in places over there, where it also has some holes that are very sandy, almost as sandy and is kind of Pinehurst and Pine Valley-ish as Karoo. So what we try to do is devise a design that really maximizes those strengths each direction. The holes that are closer to Karoo and on that sandier ground, they meld together really good design wise with West on Karoo. You'll see, you know, sandy mounds and bunkers that are just kind of dug out of the natural landscape, sandy hard pan, the styling that you see over here. But as you get into the more live oak and the heavier soil section, it's almost like early Augusta, where, or just a lot of it, you see at Augusta, where a whole like 14 Augusta National, where, you know, there's no bunkers and it's just a really cool green complex where you can use a lot of the contours within the green to spin shots to this pole location, spin shots to that location, and really fun recovery shots around the green. That's really the styling that we try to do in the more heavier soil zones, and we don't have as naturally as much sand out there. But there's also some really cool big sinkholes and quarries and stuff on that side of the property that gives it a completely different vibe that almost reminds you of, like, you know, like a Floridian version of like Marion with the quarries and sinkholes and whatnot. So we're working on the design for that stuff actually right now with some really cool, pretty dramatic holes in that section. So it's hard to imagine, especially for here in Florida, it's hard to imagine two pieces of ground right next to each other and sharing some of the same ground and terrain being so much different from each other.
Mm-hmm. I understand from Ben that there's actually enough room on the backside of this property for maybe two more 18-hole golf courses.
Hopefully
have you
so.
Been out there looking at that yet?
I have not, although I'm always kind of dreaming and peering over there. But we're certainly up for anything. So it's exciting that that they're not going to be done here. You know, that they have a vision for the future that transcends cool. Just the opening acts. It's going to be pretty fun to see what happens with this cool little place in the coming years and decades. You know, I can see it becoming almost like Florida, sort of like Piners, just like really cool, fun golf for everybody and a bunch of different cool style golf courses.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you're working on where dirt's getting ready to move? What else is on the drawing board for you in 24?
Yeah, we got lots of fun stuff right now. You know, in addition to wrapping up with Carew, you know, the plantings and just kind of detail work that we're doing out there, and the great work out on the roost. We have a new build that we're doing in Texas, halfway in between Austin and San Antonio. Really great piece of land. Some similar vibes to what we're trying to do design-wise with Carew, where multiple fairways, a lot of space out there, a lot of fun, really cool green complexes where, you know, a lot of fun recovery shots and whatnot. But instead of it being all sand there, it's really like beautiful, like native Texas prairie land. But the whole landscape is just slashed and gnarled by all these cool little barrancas and arroyos. So, you know, I love the multiple fairway stuff like we've talked about, you know, both in the past and today. You know, I love that, where the players have very clear options, and it makes it we're not masking the strategy under a lot of subtlety. We're making it kind of option, like, go out there and figure it out and have some fun with it. You know, that's the Texas land is really the kind of land that, like, when George C. Thomas was drawing that same kind of stuff that I love 100 years ago, that's what he was thinking of. You know, the stuff they needed in L.A. and Riviera. It's a very similar kind of terrain with that, with live oaks and whatnot. But the arroyos, it's going to be a really, really fun project. So we got that cooking, and then we have an amazing project in South Carolina called Broom Sedge on a really beautiful sandy piece of terrain, beautiful lake running through the center of the property, and an opportunity to do some really just amazing stuff out there. Lots of the same kind of thing, a lot of cool multiple fairways, lots of really cool strategic holes, fun recovery shots, and a lot of space. And so it's a dream site there. And then some cool restoration work as well at a place called Woods Hole Golf up out on Cape Cod. Beautiful, like, glacial till property that goes right down to Buzzards Bay, and really just a cool old place. It's 125 years old, so we're doing a really fun restoration on it as well. So we're really busy right now with some really, really fun stuff. It's been a dream year, and excited what we got cooking as we head into this new year.